Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Crystal Mims, joined today by...
Aaron Gretsch, news editor.
Sydney Contreras, staff writer.
Welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper. All right, guys, so today we're going to be talking about Spring Splash and the lineup that just dropped. We'll be talking about our opinions on, you know, who's coming and who we're excited to see perform. We're also going to be talking about ASUCR once more because there have been a few developments in the whole election situation. And we are going to be talking about Tubman on the $20 bill that was announced recently as well, and get our opinions and everything on that. So we will start with Spring Splash. Did you guys see the lineup?
Turn down for what?
Oh my goodness.
yes, DJ Snake is coming. The lineup is DJ Snake, Trey Songz, Ty Dolla $ign, R.L. Grime, The Naked and Famous, Vince Staples, Anna Lenoe, and Hood Boy. So yes, those are all the people coming.
It's actually a pretty good lineup. I was listening to Anna Lenoe last night, one of her sets for for Mix Mag. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she had a pretty fire set. It is like a lot of deep house.
Nice.
It's like pretty nice music to get down to. This is probably the most ratchet lineup. And like Spring Splash always has a ratchet lineup.
I know, it always is.
Like, Spring Splash is always the most ratchet like concert.
Yeah.
But this is, it takes it to a whole other level because we have Trey Songz, and obviously all the girls love Trey Songz.
Ty Dolla $ign.
I'm going to skip out on that to go see R.L. Grime, though. DJ Snake. So this is a really, I mean, people are complaining about the lineup, but what'd you expect? A lot of people were saying they wanted Future. Future is really bad live. I can vouch for that. I've seen Future live.
He seems like someone who would be bad live.
Exactly.
Like, based on his music. Like, you probably turn up to his music, but seeing him live would kind of be a disaster.
I do have to admit, the only, like, two people I recognize was Trey Songz and The Naked and Famous.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to listen, but to be honest, my expectations weren't that high, because I'm a freshman. Like, I haven't really seen how good it can get, really.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the second best lineup UCR's ever had.
Yeah.
The first one, they didn't come. Yeah, the best lineup we would have ever had didn't happen. We were supposed to have
Childish Gambino,
Maddie
on,
oh
my goodness.
The Neighborhood.
I was in high school and I heard about that.
Yeah, it was going to be the best one ever.
It was devastating.
Yeah, I cried.
They canceled it like 30 minutes before
the concert. Yeah, I remember I was doing something. I was, you know, socializing with people when I got the text. And then I got the text and I was like, wow. I guess we're going to have to just continue socializing.
Yeah.
They said that there were going to be two stages, right? So
yeah.
I wonder where those will be.
Well, it's going to be, usually if they're going to set up like heat, one's going to be at the hub, like in the commons area.
Oh, okay.
And the other is going to be, you know, the field behind Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's going to be.
Hmm.
That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, it's a lot longer and there's a lot more people. I'm excited for Vince Staples.
Yes.
High five. I'm so excited for him.
Yes.
And probably R.L. Grime after that.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of Naked and Famous, but I
know
haven't
that
really
one
listened
song.
To
They're more of like an indie type band, really.
What's their famous song again?
Goodness, I don't even know.
No, but I know one of their songs for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But,
yeah. And then Trey Songz is coming. I mean, like, I wouldn't consider myself a Trey Songz fan. Like, I definitely know some of his music. I could dance to his music. But, like, he wasn't someone I was like, oh my gosh, about. Which I know a lot of girls were, but, like.
If I have a chance between, if I have to choose between Trey Songz and DJ Snake, I'm going for DJ Snake.
Yeah, I probably would too. Yeah.
I feel so, like, unaware of music.
You don't know who
right
any of these.
There's a lot of DJs. Like, that's why I feel like either way, even though I'm like not super ecstatic about anyone really coming, I know that they're DJs and so the music will just be good. Like, you know, you can party, dance kind of to it.
You definitely, I don't know. I guess the benefit is like we've been to music festivals before.
Yeah.
So we kind of know what to expect from that.
Exactly.
And we're both Vince Staples fans.
Yeah.
So, and I got snaps of his Coachella set, and
it looked
pretty
lit.
So these people were at Coachella, so it should be.
DJ Snake is like probably one of the most famous probably one of, if not the most popular. Well, he's one of the most, he's one of the more popular DJs right now. So,
So does this mean I should bring like my flower crown and like bow?
You probably
don't bring your crown. Don't bring your flower crown. I personally have a really negative image of people that wear flower crowns.
I saw a few girls with them last year. If you're gonna bring it to one of them, I guess like Spring Splash would be the one. But like,
I'm gonna be judging you if I see you.
I'll definitely wear like my flower crown, my you know Dreamcatcher shirt.
You know what? I'm going to be wearing candy. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna be wearing candy.
So, in your opinion, both you guys, do you think that this kind of makes up for the lost heat, or are you still kind of like, would have rather had both, or what do you think?
As a freshman, I don't know what I'm missing out on. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, oh, bummer, but it's also not a total loss because I don't know what I'm losing.
Mm-hmm.
I would have preferred to have both, to be honest, mostly because I know Heat is every year the best concert that they've had. And I haven't gone to Spring Splash since my freshman year because last year I was supposed to go, but then an emergency happened while I was on the way to Spring Splash. AKA I had to take care of a friend, but I wasn't able to go to that, but the lineup was pretty good. They had Flo Stradamus, DJ Mustard, and they also had Miss Mister is a really cool indie band. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of but it would have been cool to have a little bit more variety. I mean, it's great that they got Vince Staples, it's great that they have RL Grime and DJ Snake, but I mean, I think we could have done without Ty Dolla $ign. I think if we would have done without Ty Dolla $ign and got like you know an indie band instead,
Naked
I would have
Famous
preferred
is, like
that.
The only one, so like there's maybe another, especially because there are so many, there's a good amount of people coming, they could have tried to diversify it a bit more.
Tame Impala, no I'm kidding. No, I would honestly I would honestly trade Trey Songz, Ty Dolla $ign and DJ Snake, I'm sorry, for Tame Impala if they could have done that.
No,
but that would, that's not gonna happen.
So, the guest tickets, I kind of woke up and, went on Facebook and saw a lot of people complaining about the fact that they sold out in, like, seconds.
In a minute. They sold out in 1 minute.
Wow.
One minute. That's, like, an ASPB record, according to Eddie.
Man.
It's an ASPB record, according to Eddie. Like,
So, I know a lot of these people are buying tickets to sell them.
They're selling them for $100.
Wow.
Some people
what
have
are your,
been able to sell them.
Your thoughts on all that? And, like, is there a way we can prevent that type of thing from happening? Or, like...
To all the scalpers out there, I despise you.
I don't know. I think me, the only thing that bothers me is that maybe we should get something from it. Like, our money is going towards this. It's part of our fees, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't really like the idea of that necessarily. But, I don't know. You can't really... There's no way to stop it. No matter what, it's going to happen. And just don't go on Facebook with it. Just be low key about it.
Yeah, that was like the first thing I saw when I woke up, like just people complaining about the fact that the tickets were gone and then like people trying to sell them. Just like, man.
I blame DJ Snake. No, just kidding. But
But anyway, Spring Splash is taking place next week on Saturday. I think it'll be fun. I'm going to go. I'm going to have fun.
I'm going to go. I'm going to probably be kicking it with Crystal.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be really fun. So make your way out, UCR people, and see if you enjoy it more than, I don't know, one of the past heats.
Are you going to go?
I honestly, I don't know how we get tickets.
No, this year you're just going to scan your ID.
Okay, then yeah, I'll probably go.
Yeah,
you
should go with us.
Definitely go.
Well, I'm probably gonna need something a bit more calm, a bit more like let's ease you into this process.
Okay, we'll ease you in.
Oh yeah, sure.
Anyway, yeah. So I'm excited. It'll be fun. All right, next we are gonna move on to ASUCR,
which is also ironically pretty lit this week.
Yeah, pretty lit. So. The election's results were postponed due to the judicial branch choosing not to validate the election's results and saying that there was a lot of negative campaigning and the results have been affected because of harassment and coercion of students and things like that. So now laptoping, things of that nature. Both parties have strikes. Individual candidates have strikes. There's just a lot going on. And so they want to start a new election cycle
But which, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have the
and
money for
we
it.
Are now in week 5, and it's just, it would be a lot of planning that I'm not sure they have time to do. But anyway, this is something they're discussing and trying to, you know, determine what happens from here on out. So, what do you guys think about all of this? Do you side with the judicial branch or kind of more the Senate, who's kind of like, no, we don't have time for
just
this?
Just like a blanket statement. I kind of want, I guess, all of ASCCR to issue a public apology for this, because just the fact that it was just delayed by a week is a lot. That's just, like, really difficult on students. We don't know who our next student reps are going to be next year. And, I mean, at the very least, they should issue, like, you know, an apology for this happening. And I think everyone needs to kind of take a blame in this. The judicial branch needs to take a blame for not... I mean, they just decided how many weeks after laptoping was legalized that it was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
They had weeks... They had literally... And their excuse for it... I was at the ECAB meeting... their excuse for it was that, oh, you only gave us an hour to decide whether or not you guys should be allowed to remove the laptoping bylaw. That was there. If you're not comfortable with deciding whether or not to allow it, don't allow it. Like, research it ahead of time. Take more time into that. I mean, you need to take the blame on letting that happen. And, yeah, okay, some candidates are at fault for the harassment. Those candidates also need to take the blame for it. But if the system allows it, then obviously they're going to do it. The elections director needs to issue an apology, for one, especially because of the way that she had handled this. This is definitely a mishandling of it. It's been a week. All these campaign violations have been overwhelming the judicial branch. And it was also... you decided not to take a decision. You were like, oh, well, it was the Senate's idea to approve this. You also presented the idea. You were also supportive of removing the laptoping bylaw because of sabotage. This is something that you don't have the hindsight. And now that it's happening and blowing up in your face, you don't want to take responsibility for it. If anything, you need to apologize to the student body on your behalf, too. It was your committee that didn't allow this. And there were also a lot of other different problems with elections. Students from SOBA were unable to vote for senators for the first 4 hours. There were other... problems. The elections website was shut down for updates for 16
day.
Yeah.
For 16 hours.
Yeah.
How does this show that you were responsible for your activities, and yet you're going out there blaming the judicial branch, blaming students for this occurring? This isn't fair to us.
Yeah.
We didn't elect you.
And part
you
of
were
it,
appointed.
Part of it too, yeah. I think that frustrated me was that I had gone to the ASUCR meetings where they discussed laptoping, and students had come up to them, you know, and said, we want to understand how this is okay, how you guys think mm-hmm. laptoping is okay. And they kept saying, well, we don't do it, it's sabotage. But then, you know, I personally saw laptoping happen, and I was surprised by, you know, who did it. I'm not going to name names, but he was one of those people that were saying, no, this isn't an issue, you know, people don't laptop. But then to see it right in front of you, you're like, what's the truth then? And
yeah.
I want to know their line of reasoning and whether or not they'll, you know, they see that maybe there was some inconsistency, you know?
Yeah, I think it was pretty naive to think that legalizing laptoping and then kind of being like, oh, but don't do it, like it's bad and we don't want to harass students and everything, and then just think that the candidates aren't going to do it. The one goal they have is to get elected, so however that happens, they're going to utilize whatever tools they have to get elected. And if you legalize laptoping, you're saying, you know, if you do it, you're not going to get in trouble, basically. And now it's kind of like they want to punish people for it, and it's
a really dumb idea to release the guidelines on laptoping in the middle of the week of elections. You released it on Wednesday after how many students have been laptop at that point? I mean, where is the logic in that? There isn't any. This is just, I know I'm going off, and whoever's listening to this, just like, please just understand that this was very poorly planned, very poorly executed. However, at least take the blame for it. I mean, I'm against a re-election. I'm going to be honest. Like,
and since
we're going to go into that. Yeah, but...
honestly, it's just going to frustrate the student body.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't want more campaigning. I was tired of walking by, you know, their tables. I was tired of the tabling. You know, it's too much.
Yeah.
And especially Spring Splash is coming up. It's too much, you know.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that the candidates need to realize is no matter what happens, the laptoping wouldn't have made a difference. Because a lot of the people that were laptoping were the most popular candidates. You know, like, I don't know who exactly it was, but a lot of them, I was like, you already have all these people behind you. I mean, look at your Facebook friends. Like,
mm-hmm.
You have a lot of supporters already. So why is this necessary?
Yeah. Yeah, having a re-election, I think, would be way too much. Yeah. Part of what they brought up at the ECAB meeting was the fact that planning is just one aspect that would be way too difficult to do right now. Week 5, try to start it over. Like, there's just,
and they don't have the funds,
no,
because they spent $30,000 on sweaters, remember?
Yeah.
But
so,
besides that, it's just, yeah, a re-election is going to be a terrible idea. I personally just hope the people I voted for are going to get into office. I'm pretty sure some of them will. I know they're going to do a good job if they do get into it. Or at least I have confidence in them. But mm-hmm. And there's others I am doubtful will get elected, but I hope.
You never know.
You never know. But if
they laptoped enough, maybe they'll get it.
Right. But yeah, this is just, it's just difficult for all of us to handle. It's just really a pain. They wanted to avoid what happened last year, and then now this is arguably worse than what happened last year. This is,
yeah.
And it lowers the confidence in our student government, really. It's, you know, at least admitting that you made a mistake and then kind of saying, we're going to make the best of what's happened. Then it's like, okay, they're trying something. But then kind of doing the whole re-election process, it's just, it's another aggravating situation that really isn't necessary.
Yeah. So judicial kind of feels like this is their way of keeping the best interest of the students in mind and making sure everything is fair. How do you guys think kind of repercussions for students or any kind of punishment can happen without having a re-election or something like that?
Well, without a re-election, I think the results should stay, but definitely I think ASCCR needs to issue a public apology, just like all around. And it needs to be signed by everyone, I believe. I believe everyone needs to take responsibility in this, including judicial, including the elections committee, for allowing this to happen. And that's what it needs to remain. I think they need to also apologize to school administration for this, because especially if they have to intervene again. If administration has to come into this, they should definitely apologize to, like, Chancellor Wilcox. And I know Sandoval's probably up to his heads in this. He's probably very annoyed with this. This is the second time this has happened. Same conflict between judicial and the Senate. And it's just...
passionate.
I'm an old dog. I realize, you know, having to preside over... This is the second year where I've had to deal with this, like, this intimately. And it causes a lot of
stress.
Irritations, a lot of unnecessary stress. But if admin steps in, I believe they're going to side with judicial mm-hmm. on this. And they're going to force a re-election if a re-election has to happen. Or, at the very least, just please apologize for it. And... If I was going to take it a step further, I would actually, like, remove the stipend, like, fire the elections director and cut her stipend. Just at the very least. I think the way that she handled it this year was very poorly handled. This is definitely a reflection of that. And, that's probably not going to happen. But definitely, if any senators are listening, I don't necessarily think that you are necessarily the ones to blame, mm-hmm. all of you, but definitely just keep this in mind. It was something that didn't need to happen.
And it really shows that now, if anything, you need to work harder to gain back the confidence and trust of the student body, because, I mean, this is my first year, and I don't really have the best opinion of the ASCCR and, you know, what's going on. And, you know, I hope that my faith is restored within these next few years or even next year, but right now there needs to be something, you know, something needs to change.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, there's not one party involved this time. Just keep that in mind, because both parties had things against them, and actually the one party that may think that are discussing things are actually not involved in many of the cases is actually the more the party I think that had less of a chance of winning, that had I'm not going to state it outright, but that had, that didn't have a presidential candidate, I believe. So you can put two and two together. That party, I believe, was more problematic in this year's election, to be honest. From the cases that were brought together against judicial, and from the cases that were discussed, and from various interviews I've had with people, and I've had seen, that was the that's where the issue was, and that's where a lot of the complaints stem from.
Well, hopefully by this week or next week at the latest, we'll know what's definitely happening. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM, streaming online at KUCR.org, on the KUCR app from the App Store, or the TuneIn app on Android. All right, so next we're going to move on to Harriet Tubman, who's going to become the new face of the $20 bill. Andrew Jackson is going to be moved to the back of the bill. Tubman is going to become the first black woman ever to front a U.S. banknote. Also, there's going to be changes to a few of the other bills. On the tin, there's going to be Susan B. Anthony, Sojourner Truth. That's just a few people. Just a montage of women involved in the American suffrage movement. And on the five, Abraham Lincoln is going to remain on the five. But on the back, there's going to be a depiction of the Lincoln Memorial, along with portraits of people that were involved in historic events that took place there, like Eleanor Roosevelt, a few other people. So what do you guys think about the changes to the bill? Do you think it was a good idea, all these changes they're making?
I think it's great that we have more representation, but I feel somewhat problematic, because wasn't Susan B. Anthony, like, kind of known as racist? Wasn't she known to, was that, or was that some other early
There's
feminist?
Definitely people that are going to be on the bill that... Maybe. I'm not sure how the decisions were made, but
nobody's
there
perfect.
People were problematic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely. Andrew Jackson was always... No, I mean, he was racist without a doubt. Yeah. And so I guess him taking a backseat, literally, to this would be better. But, yeah, I think the only problem, because I know on the five, MLK is going to be on there. And I love MLK. I think he's one of the greatest, you know... political activists just ever. I mean, to be honest, well, arguably one of the greatest. I'm personally a huge Malcolm X fan, but besides that, I think the inclusion of him is problematic, mostly because he was heavily critical of the capitalist system that was oppressive towards people of color and different communities, and also because of the greed that it created. They were very unchristian. He felt it was very unchristian to do those types of things. So I think that's very ironic that such a person that... I personally believe that he wouldn't want to be on the dollar bill, on, like, the $5 bill, because of what money and capital symbolizes. So I think that's kind of where it's problematic, because money isn't really known to be the cleanest thing. It isn't really known to be the most pure thing. It's known... I mean...
The root of all evil.
Yeah.
So... Why do you want to have great figures on evil? So, I mean, personally, if I was going to create... I know this is really controversial, but if I was going to create a dollar bill, I'd keep Andrew Jackson there, but, like, then just show, like, the plantation and the people that were actually working in the fields
goodness.
On the back. Because that just shows you where that comes from. Just saying.
I honestly... It sounds bad, but... It's important, but it doesn't matter, because, like I said, it's money. You know, it's something that we exchange, and it's nothing that's really... I mean, I guess it has symbolism, and I'm glad, of course, that it's a woman, and, of course, that it's somebody who really helped, you know, in the civil rights... Not civil rights, per se, Civil War, right?
Like, she led a lot of slaves to freedom.
Yes.
And she's an abolitionist, yeah.
Yeah, I just showed how much I've forgotten from high school, middle school, and everything. But no matter who it is, as long as they represent somebody, I think it's, of course, important to represent everybody, you know? So she represents women, and she represents African Americans, and that's something to be proud of, is that we're moving towards equality in that sense, where we're representing everybody and not just old white men who've been gone for a long time.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, though, that Andrew Jackson is actually going to remain on the bill. He's just going to be on the back. A few people didn't know that. I think when they first kind of told everyone, you know, Harriet Tubman's going to be on the bill now, everyone was just like, yay, you know, Jackson's gone. But more people are starting to realize that that is the case. And so some people view that as kind of like a backhanded compliment. Yeah. Like you're going to have her on the front and then someone who was like a racist and who had slaves and all this stuff on the back. Do you guys think that that's kind of a backhanded compliment in a way?
I think it serves two functions. I mean, for one, when rappers say they're going to be spending these Jacksons, it'll still be relevant. However, it comes at the cost of the fact that, yeah, I mean, oh no, we're going to keep him just to, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I agree. It is definitely
backhanded. It is odd. I wouldn't exactly, I don't know, it's just odd to me. Like, oh, look at all these changes we made. He's on the back now, though. Like,
yeah.
Look at the back of it. It's kind of, all I can say is it's odd. I don't exactly understand the purpose of it. I know he was our president, but times change.
Yeah, I definitely see how people could see it as a backhanded compliment, you know. But just in general, like my thoughts on it, I think more than anything, It's supposed to be, like you said, kind of symbolism. Like, we're trying to be inclusive of everyone and kind of have these other figures on the dollar bills to, you know, represent, like you kind of said, move towards equality and things of that nature. But it is still kind of strange, like you were saying, that it's money and it's something that women and, like, people of color, and maybe they haven't in a capitalistic society, had the best relationship with in general. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, really weird in that way. But who would you want to see on a dollar bill if, you know,
if Yeezy?
Oh my goodness. Yeezy. No.
No, the reason, okay, I know this is all, but you know, it makes the perfect sense. Yeezy has benefited, well, capitalism has put him down.
He's in debt.
No, he's not $53 million in debt. He actually just wanted $53 million to fund his own project. He just phrased it different. He has his ups and downs, but Yeezy knows that the capitalism system was exploiting people, but he used that to his advantage, instead exploited it with his art.
Mm.
And also, he's kind of like a fashion symbol and has tons of money.
Yeah,
like, and he's married to a Kardashian. I mean, that's like marrying into money. Like, I think, like, and he's a perfect figure for it because he's a polarizing figure. Like, money's polarizing. You love it when you have it. You hate it when you don't have enough. It's just like, you're happy Kanye's in the world, whether you hate him or not. Because you can, for the haters, you can channel your hate against Kanye. For the people that love Kanye, you can channel your love into music. Like, you'll have, like me, I had a religious experience when I was playing Ultralight Beams. You can, people can vouch for that. And it's just, I think if he was going to be on the bill, and it's perfect because he's just enough. He's just like enough at that point. He's just dirty. I think like he just represents it in a negative way, just enough. Just enough to do that. And he's also like enough to be revered. So, yeah.
Okay.
I actually really want Barack Obama, President Barack Obama. I'm a huge fan of him.
Me too.
And so I think like not only would that be just really awesome to have him on there looking like a G, he's also our first African-American president. He's our first Black president. Like, how is that not a historical thing? And you know, for that to be on, he could be on the number one. Or is that George Washington?
That's Washington.
He's not important. No, I'm kidding. But really though, he'd be awesome, you know. That's so historical, and that's so important, especially for our generation, you know. Something that, you know, it's pretty amazing to happen in our lifetime.
I agree.
Yeah, I think a couple of the greatest political things I've seen in my lifetime have been the first Black president,
Yeah, I still get, I get like, I'm like, I can't believe I lived to like see that happen.
Or
like,
the people that they're like, I saw this post somewhere and he's, you know, can you imagine that there are kids who are seven that have never had a white president?
Yeah.
And it's crazy. You're like, oh, shoot.
And then we might have the first
Jewish president?
Jewish president, or the first woman president, or the collapse of the entire United States of America.
Humanity.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to say this. Like, it's really interesting. I got to see the collapse of the Republican Party during my lifetime.
Gosh. All right. Well, maybe, man, maybe Kanye will be on a bill one day. Oh, maybe.
No. Kanye 2020.
Is that before or after Trump's president?
Oh, my gosh.
After.
An indicator of how far we've come.
All right. This has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. It's week 5, so you guys are probably drowning in your midterms. So good luck and Godspeed.
Next week is Samana De La Raza, and Chicano Batman are going to be performing here. Chicano Batman is a really cool band. I would recommend you go see them. I'm actually pretty excited for them. So yeah, go check that out before Spring Splash.
And every Monday we have our news meetings. So please come by and start writing for news.
Oh yeah, we need news writers. 515 Hub 101. All right, thank you guys for listening.